Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
I thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and once again, our special guest is Mike Novak Smith. Mike is with RE/MAX Results. He's in the top 1% of agents nationwide. Mike's an expert in the disposition of REOs, short sales, bankruptcies, asset management, and negotiation. Mike, welcome back.
Good.
You know, dealing with REOs, I guess it almost forced a learning curve in all those other areas that we just mentioned. You have to become an expert in dealing with bankruptcies and asset management and negotiation. This time around, have the tenants been... Not the tenants, but you know the owners. Has their expectations of what they're supposed to get changed to? Was it different than the 90s?
With the REO sellers?
Yeah, in other words, not the sellers of not the banks, but the occupants that were foreclosed on. Were they more difficult to get out, and were their expectations higher of what they should in fact receive?
I believe in the 90s, this is a fact, the people took it much harder than they do now. Most of the people, about everybody in the 90s, actually had to qualify to get the loan, as you know. There was no easy loan. There was no pay option arms. There was none of the stuff that happened in this last go-around that had a lot of people that just weren't qualified to own homes. Everybody qualified at one point. And I do believe emotionally they took it much more they had much more difficulty with than they do now. Today, I do believe there's a mentality of I'm owed something, and I'm entitled to not have to pay, and I'm entitled to have money when I don't pay. That just didn't happen in the old days. It was different.
It almost seems like there's a class being taught at night, because it seems to be everybody knows that's the deal.
Well, one thing you said, Bruce, about 5 years ago in one of your events, you said when you have a society where people feel they don't have to pay what they owe, you have a problem. And boy, I never forgot that, because that's the way it is. And we do have a problem. It's just, they get by with it. In the old days, you know, Fannie Mae, in the 90s, they used to get accused of dragging their feet on foreclosures. It took them 9-10 months. By about 1998, they had bragging rights. They were down to foreclosing on people in 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they brag, we don't foreclose. So, you know... It's kind of, the game has changed.
When people are being offered cash for keys, has that accelerated over time? Or, you know, what is the amount that somebody is usually receiving for exiting a property at this point?
It was common in the 90s, if you took Countrywide, if it was an owner-occupant, they would pay them nothing. If it was a tenant, if you got up to $1,000, it was a big deal. The average amount was $300-$400. World Savings, another one, they went kind of high on the cash for keys. They'd pay maybe $1,000. I did one recently. It was $10,000, and we do get a lot of that. It's very commonplace to get, you know, $3,000-$4,000 is very common.
How about short sales? Are people getting money to cooperate for short sales at this point?
Yes. Our office here does quite a few short sales. It's quite common to get $5,000 to $10,000 for doing them. I hear that some of the major banks pay up to $30,000. I personally have not seen it. But a lot of the short sales, they have become much easier. They just, you know, if the numbers are anywhere close, they get approved and they pay people for doing them. One problem you have as a real estate agent, though, when you go on a listing appointment, is when they tell you, I haven't made a payment in 3 years. It's kind of hard to get them to want to sell the house, whether they're getting some money or not, because now they're going to have to start making payments. So that's a sales challenge that we have. But, yeah, the offers today for doing the short sales, by and large, are fairly generous.
Of the MLS inventory, what percentage would you say are short sales?
Today, maybe 35, 40%.
Okay. And at some point, that turns to zero, but are we a long ways away or not?
I believe we are a long ways away, because the loan, as you know, loan mods and refis and principal reductions are happening at a great rate. But I do believe many of these people will be back into the trouble category within a short time period. I believe if you took everybody's home loan today and said nobody owes any money, everybody's paid in full, and the real estate industry started doing refis and loaning money, within 3 years you'd have REOs again.
Okay.
The people that were made whole today. I just think there's a certain amount that are going to go to foreclosure. What I think is interesting, the banks are getting to where they fulfilled, some of them have fulfilled their obligations under the settlement with the government, where they have to help the borrowers with short sales and loan mods and principal reductions. Once they've passed that point where they've done what they legally had to do, it'll be interesting to watch, see what happens.
I really think you're right about that.
I think it'll be a surprise. But the problem is now you've got people conditioned to...
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got an expectation that... You know, somebody that's waited for 3 years has seen everything get more generous over time. So if they're still waiting and all of a sudden the generosity goes to zero, they're definitely going to be, you know, screaming about that.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some surprises coming up. But, you know, right. But I think a lot of the loan mods and things like that will fail and people will end up, in the end, losing the house.
I know you don't, you know, know this offhand, but just a gut feel, what percentage of these short sellers are actually current on their mortgage? What'd you say?
I would say most of them are not, because my opinion on this has always been once people decide they're not going to live in the house anymore, they've given up on the idea, they quit making the payment. I just think that's in general. First short sale I ever did was 23 years ago, and it's been that way, consistent ever since. Once they get that mindset, I'm done with this house, they don't want to pay for it.
There's times in people's career in California that you go 10 years and you wouldn't even know the definition of a short sale. We probably won't forget it now, but I mean, that was really true.
Yeah, I think for a lot of the agents that got in the business from about 1999 to year 2000 to about 2007 really got a big shock. They learned a whole new definition of real estate, REO, short sales. You know, quite a bit of shock for a lot of them.
Yeah, it's hard to know how to make a living if all you've known is everything you touched sold quickly and everything went up for people that bought it from you.
After the first go-around, when I used to do a lot of evictions with real estate agents and people in the business, it really taught me to be much more conservative in my finances. The best financial lesson I've ever learned is being out on the front lines of the foreclosure business, and it makes you very conservative with your money and how you invest. So it has helped me. I hope everybody else in my position got a lesson and paid attention.
Yeah, there's nothing like a downturn to teach you some stuff. It's really important to remember it. I certainly didn't make the mistakes in 2006 that I did in 1989, that is for sure. Prices have gone up quite a bit. Do you think, you mentioned that you thought the hedge funds were overpaying for some stuff. Do you see any signs of a bubble? I've heard people talk about a bubble, so...
I have heard from some investors I recently did a deal with that their eviction attorney has had an uptick in business because he's having to do a lot of evictions on these hedge fund homes. And that's because what we discussed earlier is they're trying to get too much rent. They're trying to get over market rent, and the people that will pay over market rent are the ones with bad credit and really don't qualify. So I think time will tell how the hedge fund business will turn out. But when I see people paying $300,000 for a house with mellow roofs and HOA fees on it, and it rents for $1,500 a month, I don't really see how that makes sense. And I've seen that. So how long that can continue, I don't know.
What would you say that house sold for at the peak of the market we were in 2006?
$500,000.
Okay. Well, maybe it'll pencil out for them after they sell it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's interesting because this is a dynamic that's we've never dealt with before.
I think that's the hardest thing about this time is that there are so many different twists to this. that it is hard to be in the prediction business. That's for sure. I'm just curious, are you seeing any signs of life in the new home construction business?
Yes, I do see. We do get a lot of flyers, and I do see brochures, and I do get a lot of emails about new homes. One thing I find interesting is when I drive by lumber companies, I see rail cars full of lumber in them. I saw one the other day at Highway 74 at the 215. I saw 9 rail cars being unloaded there. Now, I've paid attention to that for about the last 5 years. Most you would see is maybe 2 at a time. So when you got 9 rail cars of lumber, that's a lot of lumber. You can build a lot of houses with that. And I've seen that elsewhere. So I do believe the home building is picking up. But how much of an impact it has yet, I don't know. The issue with new homes is there's two different markets. There's many people that will only buy a new car and only buy a new home. And there's some that will never buy a new car, never buy a new home. And it's two different. It's two different markets.
Do you find that the price? We just had a kind of a surprise in Riverside on a new house, and it seemed like the price that they paid for the new house was pretty excessive. It was built on a scattered lot, so it was in an area that wasn't necessarily. It was built in the 50s, and we had a new house, so you couldn't really comp out the house that was next door and say, okay, well, that's similar, because it really wasn't. But we were in escrow for a price that exceeds what we were asking for it, and it's $150,000 more than the neighborhood. So I guess in your experience, are new homes getting into the mix usually at a much higher price per square foot?
New homes have always tended to go for more money. In a decent market, have always gone for more than the existing homes. But I have not noticed that trend recently.
I wonder if they're going to build a different size product this time, or continue on with the 3,000 and 4,000 square footers.
It's interesting enough that you say that. I believe they're going to make big houses. It's like the car companies; they make their most money on the big trucks. That's why they want to sell trucks. There's a lot more money in a house that's big.
It's also expensive creating all the infrastructure and building lots. So, you know, you can't really pile all that's cost on a $200,000 house.
Right. I have read and I have seen it that, you know, the big product, the builders are back to it. And when you drive around Rancho Cucamonga, if you go up north, about as far north as you can go, when you look at some of the new homes, they're big. So I would say the new homes will be big just because of the profitability in larger homes.
Do you see lots being created?
No.
Okay.
I don't see. I do see the demand for lots has picked up. I recently sold one in Victorville, and if you'd looked at lots 3 years ago, you'd have just seen numbers of them available. Well, most of the lots now out in the desert were pending or recently sold. So yeah, the market has picked up in vacant land for people that want to build.
Just curious, what was the size of the Victorville lot, and what did it sell for?
It was half acre. It went for $33,000.
Okay.
Number of them.
And at the peak of the market last time, that was over 100.
I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting. You ask. I saw one person I know. He bought lots for $90,000, put houses on them, and sold them for like in the 250 range. Well, when the market at the worst, the house and lot were selling for less than he paid for the land. Very interesting.
I'm always amazed that anybody that owns building lots or is creating building lots will build on them the second it pencils, and then 2 years from then they could have gotten maybe $100,000 or $200,000 more a house, but they build on them the second it pencils.
Well, I think it's a difficult. You've built houses. It's kind of difficult to time correctly. You wait too long, you get over that curve, and then you're going to be sitting on them. I don't really know. That's a hard one to predict.
How is the qualifying for loans? I know that there's I've seen articles recently talking about there's some easing going on. I had Kerry Pierce on the radio show, and he talked about some of the files that he had that got approved that surprised me. What's your take on the trend of, you know, getting people approved for loans?
Well, 3 years ago, getting a jumbo loan was just about impossible. You could almost give it up. I believe the jumbo loans have gotten easier, but the people still must qualify. I think maybe it's gotten a little easier, but it's still very difficult. When it's very difficult to enforce your contract, as it is for these banks, they're going to be very careful of who they go into contract with, and I think that's still the problem. You can't blame them. I mean, I do believe, you know, there's equity lines getting done again, and there's some people out doing seconds, but you have to have a job, you have to have credit, and you have to have money for a down payment, those three criterias, which is not unreasonable, but it's something that the business was not used to for quite a bit of time.
Are the loans that are funded that are jumbo, are those staying at the lender as a portfolio loan?
I don't know about that. I believe probably most of them are probably portfolio loans. How much of it they're doing, I don't know. But you can get one now, where 3 years ago you could pretty much forget it.
In Moreno Valley, well, it's maybe in California, six-month inventory is considered almost the, I don't know, if you're over that, you probably have a problem. If you're under that, you have a healthy market. We probably have a month and a half of inventory. I guess a good question is, do you see inventory levels returning to anything close to normal in 2013?
No. No, I don't see any change. I think this year is kind of what it is. I don't see it. I think the big problem, I really believe, is many people in homes today, if they were going to sell it, couldn't qualify to buy their own house back under today's guidelines. Yes, they've made the payments, they've kept them current, but they wouldn't qualify. So if you have a guy that lives in Mission Grove or Orange Crest in a $300,000 house, and he wants to move to Canyon Crest or Orange County in a $500,000 or $600,000 house, he can't do it. He can't get a loan. And that's a huge problem. I just think the mid-level buyers really stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Well, from what you're saying, I mean, it's almost really important that the investors are participating right now for price support.
Well, you wonder what would happen if they were to flee the market. I don't know.
Well,
it's an unknown. It's never happened. I think you're right. The investors are important. And I think they've been important, but I don't know. You know, it depends what, I guess, what you say, investors, the traditional people that we're all used to and that you and I are, or these the hedge fund type of investors.
I guess it would be my take that if the hedge funds disappeared, their volume would be absorbed by the people that are not being served right now. I mean, what you have said to me is basically if you're an FHA buyer, it's really tough to get a house, but that doesn't mean the demand for that product and that loan isn't there. I think it's there in large quantity due to all the foreclosures that occurred 3 years ago.
Well, I agree with that. I think the demand is there. Last year, I had an REO in Moreno Valley. We sold for $90,000. Today, it's probably worth $140,000. But what I found interesting, and I've seen a lot of this over the year, and we really worked hard to help them out, was both these husband and wife both worked at Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
And they saved their money, and it was an American success story. They were able to barely make it, but they got that loan and they got that house, and they're both working at Jack in the Box. Today, they have zero chance of doing the same thing. The government, the whole goal is to help the little guy and help the downtrodden. There's been more that's happened has cut the little guy and the downtrodden out. They don't have almost no chance to buy anything currently. I just, honestly, if somebody called me and they're an FHA buyer, I would refer it to one of the buyer's agents I deal with. I wouldn't even bother with it because I know I'm going to spend 3 months trying to find him a house. And it becomes, as an agent, if you're busy, it becomes kind of a time issue, a business decision. How many offers can I write for somebody? They're going to get rejected.
Yeah, that's it's got to be tough to be both on both sides of that, the first-time buyer and the agent that deals with all that. That would be very tough.
Well, a lot of agents, Bruce, their pool of referral business may be entry-level buyers. Maybe they're great FHA entry-level buyer agents, and all the referrals they got was those type of buyers. Where are they at now?
Yeah, it's,
they're in trouble.
I really haven't looked. Is there any substantial HUD list or VA list like there was in the 90s?
No.
Okay.
No, not like those lists used to get pretty long and pretty ugly. But in the 90s, as you know, they didn't really market effectively as they do now. VA got their act together in the late 90s, and then HUD went online, and they cleaned it up too. So that got a lot of their backlog in those days was just their poor management of the property.
Well, now they're selling note pools, and you know, I think a lot of the properties that would have been foreclosed on is probably going that route too.
Oh, correct. I believe that, and a lot of them they're just not foreclosing, or they're giving them a loan mod or principal reduction, and that'll keep them going for a couple of years until they go out and use up what available credit they have and buy new toys and spend money, and they'll be right back to where they were. That's the thing that needs to be watched. And then will the mortgage companies have the same attitude now? Will the government be on their back to make them give everybody a break? If that were to change, you're going to have a huge foreclosure problem again. It's hard to predict any of this. It really is.
You know, I think what you just mentioned to me is one of the questions that we'll see is the unintended consequences. I'm a lender, and whenever I've talked to people about how easily they will write off the principal of somebody that's owed money, you know, I deal with private people where I'm looking at them in the face. And if I ask them, okay, instead of, you know, Bank of America or whoever you think is, not important, let's put your grandma in that trust deed. What's the likelihood after you cram her down from she's owed 100 to now she gets 60, will she put money up again for that trust deed? So what you're saying is there could be some consequences for the lenders looking at this going, well, wait a minute, we thought we had certain rights and we found out we really didn't.
Oh, I agree. I think if you watch this mortgage settlement money, I saw this week where several of the large lenders have fulfilled their obligations.
Yep.
And they've done what they had to do, and that's honorable, and they did what they agreed to do. They kept their commitment. But a year from now, they may just say, hey, we don't have to do any of this. You better pay us or else. And that's very high likelihood of happening.
As far as the future decisions, we've got Dodd-Frank that's still to be fully implemented. Do you see any danger in that coming in 2014?
No, I don't know. I'm not really up on that.
To be honest with you, I probably, when you look at the restrictions on borrowing, they probably have almost implemented the entirety of it already. It probably wouldn't have much of an impact. Do you think they'll be playing with the mortgage deduction?
No. I don't believe the mortgage deduction will go anywhere. I could see maybe they might cut the high limit down, but it is so strongly supported by NAR and CAR, I just don't see it going away. There's just too much downside for any politician that would do that, that would go along with removing it.
What about the same feeling in sort of Prop 13 in California?
A lot of the politicians would love to get rid of Prop 13. I can see it maybe going away for the commercial property owners, but for the residential, I just don't see it. I could be wrong, but you have a lot of people in Sacramento, the majority of them would love to get rid of it, and they haven't done it.
I haven't seen anything, any bill that's pursuing that. So, yeah, I think that might be a third rail for politics in California.
The governor's a pretty worldly guy. He was in the 70s, and he fought against Prop 13, and then when it happened, he jumped on the bandwagon to make sure it was implemented. So I think maybe he knows, you know, he knows which battles to fight.
I think what's going to come up, we might end up with more revenue in both the federal and state than they think in the next few years. Mike, we've run out of time. I appreciate you really taking time from your schedule. Mike Novak-Smith has been with us. And, Mike, thanks again for joining us.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.